This morning's talk is the first in a series of sermons about the kingdom of God. It's entitled A Different Kingdom. And this week we're going to think about how each one of us here has a different identity by belonging to God's kingdom. The New Testament reading from Matthew is recognizable as part of the Sermon of the Mount, which takes place at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Immediately after his baptism and temptation, he began to announce the good news of the kingdom of God, long promised in the Old Testament, and was now on the threshold. He himself had come to inaugurate it. It actually describes what human life and human community look like when they come under the gracious rule of God. So, to picture it, Jesus is sitting on the hillside with his followers around him. He tells them that there's no simple set of rules to live their life by, but that their whole attitude and outlook is to be transformed from the inside out, and that their goal is a goodness like God's, which knows no bounds. Through what he says, we learn what the true character of a Christian should be like. I've written what I wanted to say around three questions which are linked to the verses. So if you want to look at the reading, please do so. I'm going to start with verse 13, where it said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Over the Christmas holidays, I was in the UK, and I was lucky enough to go with my son Richard to Vale Park, the home of Port Vale Football Club in Burslem in Staffordshire in the UK, which I'm sure most of you have never even heard of. Apart from Brian, who sadly isn't in right now, so Sue, I hope you'll pass this on to him. I'm not really an avid football supporter, but I don't see my son so often as I'd like, so I went along to the football match, although it was cold, damp, and rather miserable. The opposing fans were from Mansfield Town. You've probably never heard of those, apart from Bromwell. They're not a well-known football club either. They arrived, and they were most rude, I thought. And as the game started, so did the unruly chanting from the other side of the seats. "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" It was meant to be loud and intimidating, and certainly was, especially for a person who doesn't really go to football matches very often. In those split seconds, though, through that astounding noise, I wondered if they really wanted to know who I was, and didn't go about talking to them. So my first question for you now is, who are you? And I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk to somebody nearby, and I want you to tell them who you are. Now, you probably know them very well, especially if you left the same house this morning. But would you just bear with me and go with it and just tell them who you are? 2 minutes. Okay, time's up. You can't be that interesting, come on. Okay, I wonder if somebody would be very kind and share with me now what that person said to you. Not what you said, but what that person said to you. Was anybody brave enough to do that? Okay. Oh, good. Angela. Excellent. Okay, so Louise is now a granny and has changed identity. Excellent. Excellent. Anybody else want to share something? Okay, you see, I should have had those children, shouldn't I? They made a lot of noise, didn't they? There's lots of adjectives to describe each one of us. And I thought some of you might have said, well, I'm female or I'm male. I'm tall or I'm short. I'm pleasant or I'm grumpy. I'm younger or older. I'm confident or I'm shy. I'm Christian or I'm on the edge. But I wonder if any of you use the sentence, I'm a preservative, to describe yourself, or I am a food enhancer. Okay. So salt, voila, has two main purposes in the Middle East. In the first century, anyway. Due to the lack of refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat, which would quickly spoil. Their salt didn't come from fine little white crystals neatly packaged in a tubular carton with added iodine, like we buy it from the supermarket, but would have come in big rock chunks. When Jesus spoke, he would have been wanting the preserving qualities of salt in mind. Society, like meat, has a way of spoiling quite quickly. There were and there are influences which can spread like bacteria and contaminate its very heart. Jesus wanted the kingdom of God to be made of blessed people who would be a blessing to others. My mum used to describe my Auntie Betty as the salt of the earth, always ready to do anything for anybody in need. If we too are to be the salt of the earth, the choices we make are important. Salt was also used then, as now, as a flavour enhancer for food. And despite its bad press for causing high blood pressure, it does make chips taste very good. In the same way as salt enhances the flavour of food, the followers of Jesus must stand out as those who enhance the flavour of the world. To be salt means to deliberately seek to influence the people in our lives and show them the unconditional love of Christ through the things that we do. So, do you stand out as being different for being a Christian? Should you stand out as somebody who's different? The second question for you now is, how bright does your light shine? This doesn't shine at all because, unfortunately, in my haste, I picked up the candle that doesn't have much of a wick in it, so I couldn't actually light it, but I'm sure Tim's demonstration on the bike was adequate enough. Would you consider yourself a flickering candle or a strong beam of light? I found myself more and more reaching for the phone, which has on the back of it. Quite a strong beam of light to look at a menu in a restaurant. I've got to that age. My eyes are not as good as they used to be, obviously. The symbolism of light is a common theme throughout history in the Bible. Light is bright. It dispels darkness and enables people to see what they're doing. Dwight Moody, the American evangelist, said, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody." Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. God is light. And since he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside believers, so are we. Jesus boldly compares his followers to light. Christ's words and actions show the true nature of the world around him. They'll give light to those around them by doing and saying what Jesus did. His kingdom can be seen by their actions. It can be experienced by their actions. For us, by growing in a relationship with Jesus every day, following him step by step, we, like them, partner him in spreading the truth. Jesus told his followers to put their light out there for everyone to see. Are you confident in letting your light shine in the name of Jesus? Is your light out there? Do your friends and your workmates recognise that you hold Christian beliefs and values by the way that your light shines? His message to us, therefore, is to use whatever circumstances and whatever opportunities that come before us to shine brightly for the Lord and to share his truth with those around him. It's not always easy, though, is it? Choices we make in life can hinder or prevent us from sharing that light with others. Our own inadequacies, our fears, and our lack of confidence in our relationships with God can hold us back. I can think of many times when I've wasted opportunities to tell people what I really believe, even though I totally feel committed to God. And my third question is, are you inside out? I was looking out this morning to see if I could spot anybody with a jumper on inside out so I could illustrate my words, but I didn't see anyone. Verses 17 to 20 of our reading are largely concerned with how Jesus envisages the fulfillment of the law. Still speaking to his followers, he tells them that those who keep and teach the commandments of the law will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, these verses are not describing the way of salvation, but they are talking about behaviour in the kingdom of heaven and recognition of faithfulness to God's perfect standard being the key. Jesus didn't contradict the law of Moses. What Jesus did was rather to explain the true meaning of the moral law with all its uncomfortable implications, as we heard in Deuteronomy. God himself is righteous, and his people are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness in the dictionary is said to be behavior that is morally justifiable or right. The Greek New Testament word for righteousness primarily describes conduct in relation to others. In verse 20, Jesus states that someone cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they are more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees, as the religious leaders were thought to be outwardly pious but inwardly wicked. God's laws, as given in the Old Testament, both describe his own character and constitute the plumb line by which he measures human righteousness. We are to hold on to God and we are to trust in him. The bad news that true and perfect righteousness isn't possible for man to attain on his own. The good news, however, is that as Christians, we can be treated as the salt of the earth if we behave in that way. Russell Moore, in his book, Engaging the Culture, said, "The kingdom of God ought to reshape our vision of what matters and of who matters." If we are to obtain righteousness with God on account of what Jesus endured, we endure him for his sins on the cross. We receive our perfect gift of righteousness and the God of all mercy and grace. So to conclude the reading and to think about what we've just talked about, I'd like to say that whoever we are, because we are every one of us different, let our saltiness remain. Let us be the same inside and out, and not afraid of our own shadows. However bright our light shines, let righteousness be a part of our relationship with God. And as part of our own identity, we need to share our faith, take light into the dark, for we shine brightest when we shine together, and surrender our lives in obedience to Jesus. Amen. I'd like to just finish with a prayer. Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come in us, around us, and through us. Lord God, may your glory shine in us, around us, and through us. And let us, by your grace, be instruments in your world today, doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly before you. Amen.
Thank you so much, Karen, for that. Let's just take a moment, actually, just to think about what Karen has said. It may be that What she said has already brought something to mind, a way in which God is calling you to live distinctly.